It is good to see you all this evening, this Friday night, this Good Friday. If you want to open up your Bibles, the text we're going to be considering tonight is John chapter 15, verse 13. John 15, verse 13. Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the songs that we have sung, the scriptures that we have heard read, and just the opportunity to again remember what you did on the cross for us. And Lord, I pray that you would bless these next few minutes together as we consider what you said in John 15, 13, as we consider the great love that you showed for us at the cross. I pray, Lord, that you would melt stony hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to shake away any sluggishness and that you would fill us with a fresh love for you, that you would open our eyes to the amazing love that you have for us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were to go home today and turn on the radio station, just to a random radio station, what percentage do you think of the 10 songs or so you listen to would be about love? What percentage do you think of all the songs on the radio would be about love? Whether it's romantic love or love forlorn, rejected. Well, different studies have shown it's probably between 60 to 70% of all songs, pop songs, are love songs. And that shows, I think, something about the human condition. We love love. We need love. Love of a friend. Love of a family member. Love of a spouse. We were made for love. And when our souls are not experiencing love, they wilt. But when our souls are filled with love, they flourish. And tonight, friends, I want us to consider the incomparably great love of Jesus that he showed us on the cross. The incomparably great love of Jesus, I hope that we will consider tonight as we think about Good Friday. Because at the cross, we see this incomparably great love. It's greater than every other love. And that's the love he has for you and he has for me. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Let's consider this text together. So in John's Gospel, chapter 15, we read this text where Jesus is with his followers and he's teaching them this principle. It says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Now, if you just took that sentence out of context, you could maybe hear it in the lips of lots of different philosophers or teachers now and in ancient culture. It's a statement about love. Greater love has no one than this. Jesus is teaching us about the greatest possible kind of love. And he says it's this. It's that someone lay down his life for his friends. If you are willing to lay down your life for your friend, there's no greater love that you could possibly show them. Now, I think Christians and non-Christians recognize the truth of this principle. When you hear stories read or you watch movies, often the hero lays down his life for his friends. You know, I've heard on the news that a tragic shooting took place a few years ago, in a theater, and what actually was celebrated was these heroic individuals who were willing to shield their friends from the bullets, because that is the greatest expression of love. If you're willing to lay down your life for your friend, there is no greater love, and our hearts rejoice in that great love. So Jesus teaches us that principle, but he doesn't. He's not just a philosopher. Jesus is a savior. He's God the Son, came to earth to save his people. And he teaches us about this love, but he also gives a prediction that he himself is going to show this kind of love for his people. Look back at John chapter 10, verse 15. We see Jesus tell us this. John 10, 15. Jesus says, back it up to 14. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So Jesus is making a prediction. He is going to lay down his life for his people. Now hold those two things together. You have the principle, there's no greater love. And now you have the prediction, I will lay down my life for my sheep. Now, when did that happen? When did Jesus lay down his life for the sheep? Well, we read in all four Gospels, and we've heard the readings tonight. It happened, of course, at the cross. The cross is the climax here. The gospel is leading up to the death of Jesus Christ. Because at the cross, this is where Jesus laid down his life for his friends. He showed a love that there is no greater. And he fulfilled the prophecy, the prediction that he would lay down his life for his friends. When Jesus went to the cross, he was demonstrating a great love for you and for me by willingly going to that cross. But now maybe you say, but I don't understand it. How does going to the cross show love for us? How is he dying for us? We live 2,000 years after Jesus. We weren't condemned to die on that Roman cross. How is dying on the cross an act of love for us? How is he laying down his life for you and me? Well, this is where Scripture helps us understand what actually happens. So if you have your Bible, look with me at Isaiah chapter 53. Verses 4 to 6. And here we have a prophecy of the coming Messiah. What would take place? And in Isaiah chapter 53, 4 to 6, we have the explanation of what happened at the cross. What was Jesus doing at the cross? He didn't commit any crime. Why did he die? What was happening there? Where Isaiah 53, 4 to 6 explains what was happening. Isaiah 53, verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is what was happening at the cross. Jesus was pierced for our transgressions, for our sins. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement upon us on him brought us peace. With his wounds we are healed. Something remarkable was taking place on the cross, when Jesus Christ was dying for us. He was paying the price for our sins, the sins of all of his people. He, who had no sin, was the sin was laid upon him, the penalty of sin he bore. That's what Jesus Christ was doing on the cross. He was paying for our sins. And when he went on the cross, he went as a substitute. Because as the Bible teaches us, actually, though we may not be guilty of a capital punishment according to U.S. law, but the Bible says that actually every one of us has broken God's law. There is no innocent person in this room, nor is there any innocent person in Naperville before a holy God. Every one of us are lawbreakers of God's holy law. We have not loved God wholeheartedly. We rejected him. We wished he wasn't around. We haven't submitted to his right rules for our life, loving him and loving our neighbors. We often choose selfishness. We don't do what he wants us to do, and we do the things he doesn't want us to do. And if we're honest with our hearts, that's true for every one of us here. We are guilty before a holy God. And that's what makes Good Friday so good, is that there is a solution for our sins. Jesus Christ bore our transgressions. He bore the penalty for our sin. And he died in the place for his people. This was God's plan to bring us back to himself. Look at another passage in Scripture that explains what took place at the cross. Colossians 1, verse 21 to 22. Here the Apostle Paul is teaching these new Christians at Colossae, this is what happened to you. This is where you were before you became a Christian and where you are after, all because of the cross. Colossians 1, 21. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. That's all of us. Estranged from God. Here's what he's done. Verse 22. He is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. God's reconciled us to himself through the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the price, the full price for all of our sins, so that we can be right with God again. Listen, that's such good news. It's the good news of the gospel. In order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. This is what took place at the cross. God was reconciling us to himself. And friends, this was an incomparably great expression of love. God's love for you and me, for sinners. Look at another explanation of what took place. It's in Romans chapter 5. Look at Romans 5, verses 6 to 8, or just listen along. Here the Apostle Paul is explaining the remarkable love of Jesus for us, of what took place at the cross. Romans 5, 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He died for the ungodly. He died for us who are ungodly. He died in our place. Verse 7. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one might dare even to die. Now listen to this astounding love. Verse 8. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Guys, this is an incomparably great love. While we were still sinners, while we still didn't want God, Jesus died for you and for me. Guys, there's no better love. There's no greater love than the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus died while we were still sinners. He died for us. This is the love that we see at the cross. This day, this Good Friday, we have to recall the amazing, incomparable love of Jesus. And when we look at the cross, that's the message. The message of the cross is this: God loves you. God loves you. Jesus loves you. Maybe you say, I already know that. No, hear it again. Jesus loves you. Do you know that in your heart? Do you know his love, which was so great, he went to a Roman cross and was crucified for you? Do you know that's his love for you? It was so great, he bore the wrath of God for you. He took all of your guilt, all your filthiness, all of your dirty deeds. He took it on himself because he loves you. That's what happened at the cross. Guys, we have to remember it because we're quick to forget it. And on Good Friday, we do remember it. Now, maybe you say, okay, I don't really know. Does he really love me? I'm not sure. Because, you know, my life is pretty hard. Does God really love me? I've got this health condition that is terrible. A pain that will not go away. And I've asked God to fix it, but he's not fixing it. Does he really love me? Everything's falling apart right now in my life. How does he really love me if he's letting all of these t- Terrible things happen.
What do we say?
Well, one reason that life is difficult for all of us certainly is because of sin. Our sin and the sin of others, and living in a sin-cursed world. And that's actually why Jesus went to the cross, was to deal with our sin and to free us from the power and the penalty of sin. You know, Jesus didn't promise us an easy life in this world. 11 out of the 12 apostles died a murder's death. Peter was crucified upside down. He said, "I don't deserve to be crucified right side up. That's how my Savior died. Turn it upside down." Guys, even in the midst of your pain, and I experience pain too, look to the cross. Because at the cross, we have this clear pronouncement. No greater love has someone than this, that he will lay down his life for his friend. Look at the cross and see the love of Jesus for you, even in your pain, even in your perplexity. This night, this Good Friday, remember the love of Jesus. But maybe you say, "Okay, but how does God really love me? My prayers haven't been answered. I've been praying and praying and praying. Maybe he has a purpose in this pain, but he's not answering my prayers." Maybe we would respond by saying, "But surely he's answered some of your prayers, has he not? Can we not all look at different prayers that God has answered in our life? He's answered many more than we could even ever imagine." The Bible also teaches that sometimes he doesn't answer our prayer because our heart is in the wrong place. James 4:3 says, "You ask and you don't receive because you ask just to spend it on your sinful passions." Sometimes God withholds from us because our heart is in the wrong place. Sometimes he withholds from us because of his good, wise, sovereign purposes. He has some purpose in this perplexity, in this painful situation. But in the midst of this, look to the cross of Jesus Christ. No greater love has someone than this, that he lays down his life for his friend. Look to the cross when your prayers are not answered the way that you hope, and see that Jesus loves you, even if he's not answering prayers the way that you hope. But maybe you say, "How could Jesus love me? I'm not very lovely. How could anyone love me? I'm not very lovely. My life's a mess. I keep sinning in the same ways over and over again. My life is not very lovely." But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus loves you in your sin, in your failures, in your brokenness, in your ruined condition. He came for the sinners. He came for the sick, the weak, the people who are willing to acknowledge, "I'm broken, I got nothing." He loves you and me. And actually, his love makes us beautiful, makes us more like God. When you look inside and all you see is ugliness and sin, let's look again to the cross and see this truth of his love. No greater love has someone than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. And that's his love for you and me and all of our sin and ugliness. He loves us and he's changing us. But maybe you say, "Okay, but I don't feel the love of Jesus right now. My heart feels cold. I don't really feel this. How do I know that he really loves me?" What would you say? Well, I think maybe a good response is, often our feelings deceive us. Do they not? Don't our feelings often lead us astray? Sometimes they're in line with truth and goodness, but oftentimes our feelings are not. We need a more solid ground than our feelings, which can be up and down and all over the place. And that solid ground is the Word of God and the pronouncement of Jesus Christ. No greater love has someone than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. When you don't feel it, when you don't feel the love of Jesus in your heart, look to the cross and see the love that he has for you and me. He's shown us that love. And ask God to renew your love for him and to feel that love. Ask him. But look, this is an even better foundation than our feelings is the cross. Because at the cross, we see the love of Jesus displayed. No greater love has someone than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. Remember that. Let that sink into your feelings, into your soul, until you start, and so it starts to become real, because it is real. Guys, this love is incomparably better than all other loves. The love of Jesus is clearer than every other human love. People, maybe you're in a relationship, you're with somebody, and you say, "Do they really love me?" And you wonder. Jesus tells us, no greater love is there than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends, and he showed it. The love of Jesus is purer than every other love. Jesus loved us out of pure motives for the glory of God. He didn't love us to try to trick us or manipulate us. Sometimes happens in human relationships, right? People say that I love you, but it's really for an ulterior motive. That's not why Jesus said he loves us. He loves us because he loves us. Isn't that great? His love is pure. Jesus' love is more enduring than every other human love. Other people's loves can be fickle. Our own loves can be fickle, right? Your friend can love you, and then they can betray you. Your family member can love you, and then they can move away or die. But the love of Jesus is enduring. Even when you're in your darkest moment, he loves you. Even when you're in your best moment, he loves you. The love of Jesus is incomparably greater because it's unearned. Maybe you have a friend or an acquaintance and you feel like you're always trying to impress them. You're hoping that one day that they will approve you. The love of Jesus isn't like that. You know what? You don't deserve Jesus' love, but he gives it to you in grace. That's the good news. In grace and love. In grace, he shows his love for us. We don't deserve it. That's the whole good news. That's the whole point. You and I don't deserve it, but he shows it to us. It's unearned. You cannot earn your way to heaven. You must receive it as a gift through Jesus. Jesus' love is incomparably better because it's redemptive. His love saves us from our sins. Jesus' love is better, and that it's thrilling to the heart. You know what David said about the love of God? He said that your love is better than life itself. Psalm 63. Jesus' love is genuine. You ever met somebody and it's like, they say they love me, but are they just trying to manipulate me? Like, do they really mean what they mean when they say that they love me? Jesus, his love is genuine and pure. His love for you and me is genuine and pure. Jesus' love is transforming. And finally, it's everlasting. One day, guys, we're all going to be dead, right? Could happen sooner or later. But here's what's not going to end. Jesus' love for his people. If you are a believer, if you're a Christian, you're experiencing his love now, but you get to enjoy it forever. And you'll never get bored of it, because God's an infinite God. There's always more to learn and see of his character and experience his love and grace. No greater love has someone than this, that he lays down his life for his friend. This love is incomparably better. Friends, I want to leave you with one last verse as we close this time. And it's from John chapter 3, verse 36. And the question I want to leave with you tonight is, how will you respond to this love? The love that Jesus has shown to his people at the cross. What will you do with this love? John chapter 3, verse 36. There's really two ways to respond to the love of Jesus, to the person of Jesus, to the finished work of Jesus, to embrace it or to reject it. There's no middle ground. Listen to what Jesus says in John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. If you're here tonight and you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you haven't believed on Him, put your trust in Him. That's how you become a Christian. You put your faith in Jesus, confess your sins, you believe on Him. Then you are rejecting this gift. You're rejecting the love that Jesus has offered to you. He's shown it on the cross. He's offered it to you. Eternal life. It's the best gift. Receive it tonight. Believe in your heart. Turn from your sins. Say you're sorry to God and trust in Jesus. And if you believe, you will have eternal life. You will be saved. What He did on the cross is credited to you as a free gift that you can't earn. And it can't be taken away once you have it. You can reject the gift or you can receive it. If you receive it, you have eternal life. And get to enjoy this incomparable love forever and ever. Friends, it's Good Friday. And you know, it's good because the love of Jesus is incomparably better than every other love. Let's pray together.